No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Box Trek. I am your host, Matt, known on the internet as Super Gains Bros, joined today by Josh Petrie, otherwise known as Sports Nerds. Hopefully I said your last name right. I didn't even ask you. Okay, good. All right.
Well, a lot of people say Petrie, and I'm like, P-E-T, pet.
That's what I should have literally asked you before I said that. So anyway, yeah, you run Sports Nerds on TikTok, as well as you have like your own website and podcast. I've been seeing you've been interviewing, you know, NFL guys, and I saw you interview Buff Bagwell. We'll talk a little bit about that. Maybe that's super cool. And yeah, man, I know we've been kind of commenting each other's videos and stuff like that on TikTok for probably a little over a year now and stuff like that. And yeah, always down to talk some retro gaming. And then you actually did a giveaway on your channel of a copy of College Football 26, which I won, by the way, have been playing. And because I wasn't actually planning on getting College Football 26, because I got 25. I'm in that camp where I get Madden every couple of years, you know, but I was like, all right. So been diving into 26, having a blast. It is a big improvement over 25, I feel like. So yeah, man. So we'll talk a little bit about TikTok and stuff like that, man. You know, what got you into it? You know, what caused you to kind of start creating content for it? And yeah, I mean, obviously I have a huge love for retro sports games, which is something I really don't get to talk a lot about.
First of all, like back, I guess during the pandemic, at the beginning of the pandemic, my daughter wanted TikTok, but at the time she was too young and I had no idea what TikTok was. So she finally introduced me to it, and I made a couple videos that really had nothing to do with gaming at all. And then I just kind of figured out, well, you know, let me start highlighting some things. I have this, I don't want to say huge collection, but to me, I've got a lot. And I just started playing, you know, retro games, and they really started to take off. So I just kind of started, you know, staying with that niche, however you want to say that.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, sort of TikTok, what I've kind of, you know, steered toward, but I also have been implementing, you know, some of my stuff I do on the side, my hobby, my journalism, things like that into it. So it's just been, I guess, 2 years now I've had a TikTok, but here lately, you know, I've been so wrapped up in covering things and writing, I've really stepped back from making retro videos and things on TikTok, but I do plan on getting back into it, and I enjoy, you know, there's several people in here that I talk to behind the scenes. I just love the retro games and talking video games and watching other people play them, learning things about the games that you've had, you know, you've played for, in my case, 35, 40 years that you had no idea even existed. So it's just a great community, you know, of retro people on TikTok. And I just enjoy being a part of it. And I appreciate what you do. You know, we followed each other, I guess, for around a year now. So
yeah,
it's just a great community.
Yeah, it's great, man. Yeah, you know, because a lot of, man, I feel like in video games, like, you know, sports games, especially among retro collectors, always has this negative connotation, right? Like you always see collectors like, oh, sports games, they don't like them. But you know what? There's a lot of great sports games out there. Okay. I mean, that's what I grew up on. Yeah, I think the first sports game I can ever remember playing is College Football National Championship for the Sega Genesis. Mm-hmm. Right. And, you know, it's also pretty similar, same engine and everything of the Joe Montana football, which I think people probably lean towards a little bit more. So what, and that was of course Sega Sports, and then that went on to become other things. And then ultimately, in a way, I guess you could kind of say it went on to become the 2K series, because right. they're the ones who started it. That's where it really started, was that Sega Sports franchise. So what's like the first retro sports game that you can like remember playing, or what was like one of your early favorites?
I remember being, I guess at the time, 4 or 5 years old. My grandpa and my aunt, you know, they lived together. My aunt still lived with him, and they had an old Atari. So every time I would go over there, that's when I started picking it up, playing Atari. I would play Popeye, Smurfs, and then they had the 10-yard fight game. I think it was on Atari at the time, and you know, it was terrible.
Yeah.
You know, but it was something. But that's my earliest memories of playing that. And then obviously, you know, I think I got a Nintendo when I was 7 or 8, and getting into the John Elway quarterback, and obviously Tecmo Bowl and Super Tecmo Bowl, things like that. That's what I remember, you know, at my earliest.
Yeah. You know, it's kind of interesting. Tecmo Super Bowl, because I think you're probably about maybe like 5 or 6 years older than me, I'm guessing, just by that story, is, you know, Tecmo Super Bowl, because I was kind of like NES, I played a little bit of, and then like Genesis was really kind of my system when I was like, you know, 5, 6. That was really when I started getting into it. And so I never played Tecmo Super Bowl. And it's actually one of those games I didn't even really play until much later. In when I was in like a teenager, you know, or actually when I was like in my 20s, because through emulation. And mm-hmm. I'd always heard everyone talk about, man, Tecmo Super Bowl is where it's at. And actually, it's so interesting that it has become one of my favorite games ever, especially because of the mods you can run now, where you can run, you know, current Tecmo Super Bowl and everything. And I really actually love the SNES version. That's the version I go back and play a lot, just because I love that 16-bit style. That graphical style. But yeah, it's so interesting. That's one of those games that like I didn't really play as a kid when it was hot and came out and everything. And but that's, I think, a testament to still how well that game stands up, that there is still this huge community that wants to play it because it's such a good formula.
Right. You know, funny story about that game too. And I tell my son, he's 8 now and he's starting to get into flag football. And I've had him kind of start out playing it a little bit because he wants to play college football. And I'm like, well, let's start you on some of the beginner level things before you get into, you know, today's games. But a funny story about that is when I was playing Major League Football when I was 7 or 8 years old, my mom and dad told me, they said, if you score 3 touchdowns, we'll take you and we'll buy, I think it was either Tecmo Bowl or Super Tecmo Bowl at the time. Yeah. I don't remember which one. They said, if you score 3 touchdowns, because I was a running back, they said they'll take me directly after the game and buy it for me. So I scored 5. And, you know, it's an ongoing joke now. That's how bad I wanted that game at the time. Yeah. Because then, you know, we didn't have, couldn't get online, you couldn't look at reviews, and you couldn't see anything. You just had, you know, your friends that already had it talking about it, or maybe like a Nintendo Electronic Gaming Monthly or some kind of magazine. But I always refer back to that. But it's just one of those generational games, you know, that has so much replayability, it'll always be there. So I love that game. It's one of my favorite of all time.
Yeah, you know, I have a pretty similar story that I don't think I've ever shared on this podcast. So when I was maybe like 11 or 12 or something like that, I was playing baseball, Little League, and the game I wanted was WCW Nitro for the PlayStation, because you know, you played it on the demo disc and that was the era of that. And so my mom was like, same thing, she's like, all right, if you get, like, you know, I can't remember what it was, catch so many fly balls, because I was an outfielder, because I was awful at fielding, and I literally stubbed that guy out, and you know, right field, just get rid of him. And so yeah, and then I did, and I ultimately got WCW Nitro. And then, you know, at the time I loved it, because it was a great, you know, it was good for the like short little window that it existed before, you know, you got the infinitely better WCW games like Revenge, and you know, even Mayhem mm-hmm. was probably a better game, and then certainly the SmackDown games. But yeah, so definitely pretty interesting. Yeah, similar type of story. So okay, so then, yeah, so when did you get into collecting? And have you just like, you've been collecting over time, or is there a point when you're really like starting to collect? Because I mean, I'm looking at your collection right behind you, and I see a lot of PS2, I see some NES, maybe is that Genesis back there, and some Atari even.
So the only systems I never had growing up, and then honestly, I don't know why I never had them. I never had a Sega Saturn, like the Sega CD, and I never had a Super Nintendo. But as a kid, I had a bunch of games, and, you know, I still buy retro games and things that I may have had as a kid, you know, moving several times, don't know what happened to them. But it started, you know, when I was younger, as far as the games go. And, you know, I guess $30 for a Nintendo game at the time, my mom and dad worked a good job, so it wasn't too hard to buy those games. But would always get three or four games for Christmas and just started collecting as a kid. But like I said, now I'll go to some retro game stores and some games that I'm interested in, or maybe some ones that I've never even heard of that I, you know, I just want to make a TikTok about or something. I'll buy them because you can find them for a dollar or two and things like that. But I think maybe in my collection, I want to say I guess PS2 is the one that I have the most games for, and probably NES that I have the most. I think PS2, you know, a lot of people, I don't have a lot compared to a lot of people on TikTok at all. But, to me, I think I've got maybe 1,300 or 1,400 games altogether between every system. So, but it's just something, you know, you can pop in a video game, a retro game. Sometimes you might be having a bad day and, you know, to take you back to those times of being a child and just let you escape for a little bit. And that's always what video games have been to me. And, you know, I'm 43 now, and I always thought when I was a teenager or, you know, maybe into my 20s, well, I'll still be playing video games at like 40, 50 years old. And I thought there's no way you'll still be playing video games. But even now, you know, having kids and wife, and when the kids go to bed at night, I'll pop in a video game, play it for about an hour before bed. And it's just like an escape from, you know, daily struggles and things like that. Let you get away for a while. So I've been a gamer my whole life. And I also, you know, I collect other things too. I've got a bunch of wrestling figures. I've got ball cards, and I'm a collector of a lot of things, but mainly video games and sports and ball cards is what I collect the most.
Yeah. You know, the interesting thing is not only are we still playing games all these years later, especially when it comes to sports games, we're playing the same ones because those are like, those are like the best ones. So, all right. Well, okay. Well, let's talk a little PS2. I mean, what's your go-to PS2 sports game? Cause you know, there's a lot of people debate of like, what's the best Madden, what's the best college football, you know, and then MLB Slug, you got Slugfest, the sport arcade ones. What's kind of your go-to sports games?
Obviously, you know, anything basketball, football, baseball, and obviously ESPN NFL 2K5, you know, that's a must have for any gamer out there. I always go back and play it. The game at the time was just, it was a generational game, but you didn't realize it at the time, only being $19.99 versus, you know, the price of other games. And obviously that's why the license and things got bought out, because EA Sports, you know, knew they were going to have that competition. Yeah. But probably any sports game, and I like, you know, God of War. I like the Medal of Honor franchises and, you know, Grand Theft Auto. So those type games.
Yeah. Or any particular, like any particular Madden you go back to, or college football, like any particular, like, do you like 2006 with like the quarterback vision cone, or do you go more to like 04, or what's your kind of go-to year of some sports games?
For me, I like Madden 98. You know, I think that was on the PS1, and I think it was 03 or 04 when Vic was on the cover. I think it was 04, Madden 04. That's one of my favorites that I go back to. And it's just amazing that these games have some features even back then that some people don't realize. And like we talked about with ESPN NFL 2K5, I made a TikTok video of the first person helmet mode. And I remember thinking before that came out, and apparently I've learned that there was another game or two that may have already had that, maybe not to the, you know, the way that 2K had it, but I just remember thinking, like, how crazy would it be to have a video game that you could see out of the helmet? Now, it wasn't a great mode, but it was kind of a groundbreaking mode to be able to do that. So I would say probably those games but 98, Madden, 04 are probably some of my favorite. And I like the, obviously not last year's Madden 25, but the original Madden 25, I guess it would have been Madden 15 or something that they didn't name it
14,
that.
I think. Yeah.
Something like that. That's a good one too. You know,
for like PS4.
Even, you know, within the past 15 years, you only have two or three Madden games in there that aren't just a copy and paste.
Yeah.
You know, there's been so many issues with Madden, so many people unhappy with it. But people like to say that we're going to stop buying the game. They're not going to stop buying the game because it's the only game in town.
College Football 25 last year was the best-selling sports game in history.
Well, you know what? Before that came out, I had some discussions with gamers and some people within that industry, and college football was projected to do only 30% of the sales of what Madden was going to do. And I was like, that is grossly underrated. I don't think you understand how massive this game is going to be. And it ended up just far surpassing anybody's expectations. But honestly, like, it wasn't just a nostalgia thing for me. I loved the game when it came out. It had a couple bugs and things like that, but I really liked the game, you know, and like I said, it's not just a nostalgia factor. It's just everything about the game I loved.
Yeah. And even playing the 26 this year, I think they've improved on it, and it feels like the best. When I played College Football 25 last year, I felt like I was like, this is the best EA football game since, like, I don't know, Madden like 12, Madden, I mean, 16 was pretty good. I mean, I don't buy Madden every year. Like I bought Madden 25 last year just because I bought a PS5 and I held off on a PS5 because I had like just been mostly PC gamer and Switch. And so Madden 25, I was like, okay, but I didn't like it as much as I did Madden 20. And then I didn't like Madden 20 as much as I did Madden 16, which is like kind of the I buy about every couple of years. But playing College Football 25 last year, I was like, oh my God, this is so much better. I think a large part of it too. I think also I am finding, and I'll ask you about this too, that, I mean, maybe some people are like college football way more than the NFL, but I am just also finding that I am becoming far more interested in college football than I am the NFL. And I think a lot of it just has to do with the ranking system. It's just, I feel like it's just so much more fun. I feel like every game matters. Every play matters. When there's a pick six in college football, it's a big deal. Because, I mean, it's not like in the NFL where, okay, well, we lost a game. As long as we win 9, we're in the playoffs. In college football, man, I mean, you lose one game, you might be out of the entire national championship run. Like, it's such a big deal. So, I mean, are you more of an NFL guy? You more college football? Where are you at on that?
I would say it used to be strictly NFL. And then, you know, for a while it jumped to college was more important and more intriguing to me. But obviously I love both. You know, I haven't been around sports my whole life. But I guess nowadays I would probably be, you know, geared more toward the NFL side of it due to NIL and those players getting paid. You know, some of them just the same as the NFL. You know, and we've talked about that many times on different podcasts and things that I've been on as far as what needs to be done with that. But I think nowadays I would say NFL, you know, just due to NIL until I know it's capped now. And I think schools receiving 20.7 million or something to divvy out between players. But I still think something needs done with NIL and something needs done with transfers. Like we need to cap transfers.
And we can dive into that just for funsies here. I mean, I'm totally with you on that because man, it's so hard to even remember like who's on your team. Like I'm like,
well, they have to prepare, you know, every year the coaches in college just like NFL anyways, because you literally have to prepare every year with a different team. You have to game plan. There's different schemes and things to put in because you have a different roster every single year.
I feel like a lot of guys are, I mean, a lot, I think that's, I mean, that's one of the reasons that Nick Saban left is because they're just like, man, it's almost better. It's easier in the NFL because you know what you've got. I mean, you have free agency, but it's not your entire team. I don't know what they're going to do ultimately. I feel like if you cap, like you can only transfer, like you have to, like when you transfer, you have to stay with that team for like 2 years or something. I feel like that's probably a fair trade-off and maybe that's what they will ultimately go to, but I just don't think you should be able to transfer every year. Like that's just insane. Like that's just crazy. Cause then you just get guys like I'm for it. Ultimately, I do think the transfer portal is good for level is, you know, in a way it kind of creates, polarity or whatever the word is that they use in the NFL, for the rest of college football, because now you'll have guys like, I mean, Joe Burrow, I'm an Ohio State fan, obviously, you know, Joe Burrow was a backup on our team. And then ultimately he goes to LSU and wins a national championship. Mm-hmm. And for a lot of these big schools, you've got that. And it's like, do you want to be a backup at Alabama or do you want to go start for like Washington State? Right. Mm-hmm. I think that's good for those smaller teams. I also think it's really good for college basketball where it's like one and done. And I do think NIL is great, is actually super big for college basketball, because now you'll see a lot of guys be like, well, I'll just stay in college basketball rather than go play in like the G League.
But for me, I guess we have to be content with it because that's the way it is. But to me, it creates an unfair advantage for, you know, like for me right down the street, Coastal Carolina. And then you've got teams like Marshall who, are never going to be able to compete at the SEC level. And there's never going to be any more really underdog teams that, you know, make it all the way through the 12-team playoff due to, you know, if you have really good players, well, they could just go to the SEC. They can get paid more money there and they can spend more time there. But I think it does create an unfair advantage for the smaller schools, you know, that we won't see a school like, who was it back in the, like Boise State, you know, beating Oklahoma and things like, I don't think we'll see that anymore because I don't think they'll be able to compete.
But I guess my thought on it is, do you think we'll see more? I guess I kind of think maybe like the really small schools, but maybe some of those medium schools might benefit more from it because now, I mean, like last year, Will Howard, he came from Kansas State where it's like, okay, well, obviously he's pretty good. So, I mean, I think maybe we will see some more guys that are like the second string quarterback be like, well, I'll go start for, you know, like a Washington State or, you know, maybe some of those Power Five schools that aren't top, like a Cal or, you know, something like some of that aren't like perennial powerhouses. Do you think we'll see some more of that? Or do you think it's just, you think people, you're going to see more of the big schools holding on to players just for the money?
I think, you know, there's different types of players. You have players, and honestly, it's sad to say, but you have players that go to a certain school. Not only, you know, they may not want to compete to a level that a smaller school quarterback coming to your school wants to compete. But I hate that it's all about the money, mostly, you know, as far as that level goes. And I just can't get on board with a guy playing for four different schools, you know,
I can't
in four
either.
Years.
I'm totally against
I'll
that.
I'll never be out, you know, a lot of people, you know, they may not agree with me, but I will never be on board with that. I think you can have one transfer, maybe two in certain situations, but I just think it does more harm than good in the grand scheme of things. And now, don't get me wrong, if you can get it. If you're, you know, a quarterback that's coming to a school and they were willing to pay you X amount of dollars, if you can get it. But at the same time, you know, before we cap this and figure it out, I've always thought, well, when are we going to get to a point where you see a conflict of interest? Like your quarterback's making $2 million. And, you know, the center, the offensive, you know, the guard that's supposed to protect him, he's getting paid $2,000.
Right. No, yeah. So yeah.
How do you fix that?
Right. Oh, I'm totally with you. Yeah. With you on that, because I do. Yeah, I do. I do think you're right. It can create conflicts of interest and it can, I think, ultimately be bad for the sport. But yeah, it's just, I definitely agree with you. I think maybe one transfer, but you know, now they're expanding it to junior college guys and your eligibility now is like 6-8 years. I mean, it's just like, it's crazy. It's insane. And then at some point you kind of get away from like the tradition of it. Like you kind of get away from the tradition of college football. And I'm all for the guys getting paid. I think ultimately that they should get paid, and whether they want to figure it out or however they're going to do it.
You know, one thing I'm waiting on to happen is I'm waiting on the day, and you know, I would hope it wouldn't happen at that level, but I'm waiting on the day to you have a quarterback, or it might not even be a quarterback, could it be a receiver, running back, something that comes to a certain school, makes, you know, let's say $3 or $4 million on the higher end of NIL money. And let's say that, you know, they're really good, they have a great season, whether they win a national championship or not, they're projected to be a top five draft pick. I'm waiting to see the day that they're like, nah, I've got enough. I'm not interested in playing at the next level.
And they just retire.
Right. Or maybe they, you know, they're a first round pick. They go to NFL. They add to what they've already made in college. They get the guaranteed first round money and decide, nah, I'm not interested. I don't want to do it anymore. Yeah. I'm waiting on that to happen one day.
Yeah, I do think we will see that. I do think we will see guys having shorter NFL careers because they've made so much more money, which, on one hand, hey, you know, if you want to keep yourself out getting from injuries and stuff like that, but it will take away a lot of those like career players and stuff like that. But I also think too, I think we will, when it's going to be really interesting, because Marvin Harrison Jr. almost did stay at Ohio State because they were offering him so much NIL money that he was almost like, yeah, you know, actually, okay, maybe I will stay. And I think that's another thing too. I think you will see guys that maybe they're like a projected fifth round thing, and they're like, well, I'll just stay in college where I can be a stud and, you know, give me another year. So there's good and there's bad to it, right? I mean,
like anything, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's good and it's just so weird right now because it's basically unregulated and we haven't been in it long enough. So,
and it's just weird giving a kid, and I say that term loosely because they are 18, 19, 20 year olds, but it's weird giving somebody that's never had that kind of money. Some of them has, most of them haven't.
Yeah.
And expecting them to live that college life and not get in trouble.
Right. And it's totally different because you hear about the horror stories of guys who go to the NFL or the NBA or whatever, and then they're still like 21 and they get all that money. But it is totally different when you're in college, because now you run the risk of like getting kicked out of college and stuff. And we've been seeing that a little bit, you know, with you see like DUIs and all this stuff. So what is your college team? I mean, I'm guessing you're from like the Atlanta area because you cover a lot of that on your website, or no,
I'm from West Virginia. I grew up around Charleston, West Virginia. Okay, yeah. And you know, we've had a place in South Carolina near the beach for around 10 years or so, and we just decided to move down here permanently like just over a year ago. But I get, you know, I've always been an Atlanta fan. I'm a lifelong Atlanta Falcons fan. My teams, as far as professional goes, I've never swayed away from them. I've always been an Atlanta Falcons fan, Chicago Cubs, Cleveland Cavaliers. There's never been anyone else, you know, ever. But so just being able to cover Atlanta, being a lifelong fan of them, was like a dream of mine, and actually being able to land that, you know, job and be able to cover Atlanta. But like I said, I used to, coming from Charleston, West Virginia, I used to travel all over the United States when I first, you know, built my website in 2013. I would travel to cover as many things as I could. And I spent a long time, you know, away. And then I had kids, you know, I wanted to slow down a little bit. I wanted to stay kind of local and just try to stick to, you know, covering W every home game and things like that. But now, living in South Carolina, I try to stay, you know, somewhat local of Atlanta and back and Coastal Carolina and back. And if I have some opportunities to travel to a game and cover, you know, like the Houston Texans or something, again, I'll do that. But I try to stay local now. But
yeah,
just always been an Atlanta Falcons fan. So that's where that comes into play.
So is that your like number one? Like if you're like, if the Falcons are like your number one team in general too, like of all of your fandoms, you would say they're your number one.
Right. And my wife always jokes, I think when we first started dating, we've been together, you know, 20 years. She said it was always, I would always say it was breathing, the Atlanta Falcons, and then her.
Okay.
Which is obviously not the case, but it was just a joke in the beginning. But that's where I'm at with the Falcons.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Well, so, yeah, and I got a cool way to tie this back into some sports games here in a second. But so when I kind of got into football, it was around like mid 90s, and I'm from just north of Columbus, Ohio. And so when I wanted to started getting into football, because all my, you know, I went to a small little rural school of like 40 kids would have been my graduating class. And I ultimately moved and stuff like that. But when I kind of got into football and played some, you know, Pop Warner and all that stuff, the Browns didn't exist. So either I dodged, you know, I kind of dodged a big bullet there, I guess. And so really, it's like, I kind of asked my dad, I'm like, you know, what's the closest teams? And he's like, well, really, it's actually like the Bengals or the Steelers. And the Steelers happened to be like in the Super Bowl against the Cowboys. And, you know, they lost ultimately, but that's, so the Steelers kind of became my NFL team. And then, obviously Ohio State, if you're born in Ohio, you're like, you know, you bleed Scarlet and Gray. I mean, there's just no ifs, ands, or buts. I mean, we literally hate people from Michigan. They literally hate us. It's fine. You know, and then I ultimately ended up moving out here to where I live now, which is Portland, Oregon. And so I never was really into the NBA. And so I still kind of not, but I guess I kind of follow LeBron just because he's from, at least from Akron, which is like, you know, down the street, really, from north of Columbus. So it's not too far down the street. But obviously with the Cavs and the Lakers and stuff like that. But I mean, I follow the Blazers, the Trailblazers. They're not particularly that great, you know, so we just kind of follow them. We're apparently supposed to get an MLB team, which would be fine. But
I've been hearing that for a while too.
Yeah, they've like secured all the land and everything, and they're like really pushing forward. So I do think, I don't know if a team's going to move here or if they're going to expand. I've heard the MLB talk a little bit about it. So, but they've like totally secured everything, the land, the finances. I mean, we're totally prepared to get a MLB team. And apparently also the NBA is trying to shove the Blazers out. They're like trying to force them into leaving Moda Center, which is actually like a decent stadium. They say it's terrible, but every time I go, I'm like, this is a totally fine stadium. And the rumor is that it's because they're trying to force the Blazers to move to Seattle to bring
back. That's what I was just going to say. I need in some capacity, I need the Sonics back.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's like a city of Portland discussion. Like it's an active discussion here, but the Blazers aren't particularly good. So I don't really care if they leave or not, you know, but Rip City, man, I mean, it's a pretty big deal here. So, cool. Okay. So, all right. So you're a lifelong Falcons fan. So when I kind of got into, you know, football and stuff was around that time. And I mean, I remember, and this is a long forgotten franchise, the NFL game, like Game Breaker, you know, the game, like the college game, it was Game Breaker. The one that had Terrell Davis on the cover.
Right.
Right. Game Day and stuff like all that, man, what was that 98 Super Bowl like for you? Because I remember everyone was Broncos crazy, and I was like, I didn't really know a lot about the Atlanta Falcons until that game. But I remember hardcore playing that game, and I was always playing as the Broncos because they had John Elway and Terrell Davis, and those new uniforms at the time seemed super cool.
Obviously, that season was easier than the 2016 season for me. But you know, being a lifelong fan, it was good to see. I was shocked when they beat the Vikings in that NFC Championship game the way they did with the field goal and things like that. But like I said, it was easier in 2016 for sure than that season. But what's crazy about the 2016 season when Atlanta went to the Super Bowl, and I've mentioned my teams, if Atlanta would have won the Super Bowl that year, my three teams, I'm like, what is going to happen to my life now?
Right.
My three teams would have all won championships in that year because the Cubs won, the Cavs won. And I'm like, if I get a three-peat with these three teams, that would be unbelievable.
Yeah, I always say that when I pray to the sports gods, it's always like, at least just give me one, you know, whether it's Ohio State.
That's what I said with the Cubs. I'm like, I got a shirt that says just one before I die.
Yeah, just give me one. I have seen the Steelers win, you know, multiple Super Bowls in my life, so I feel pretty good about that. We're in like total rebuild mode now. I've seen Ohio State win multiple national championships, mm-hmm. so I'm kind of good. And then a lot of the other sports, I'm like, you know, I just kind of loosely follow. So those are like my real, real hardcore too. But so, okay, when you're playing Madden and you play franchise mode, are you picking the Falcons? Or do you do like team rebuilds?
I mostly stay with Atlanta. Every single year I stay with Atlanta. But, you know, some years I'll branch out because there's some quarterbacks I want to play with. And I'm not talking like I don't want to play with like Lamar Jackson, things like right. that. So I might play a season with Buffalo or Cleveland Browns or something, you know, depending on who the running back is or the quarterback. Because, you know, for a while in Atlanta, we haven't had a scrambling quarterback, you know, and I always right. like to play with Vic. You know, you get spoiled on scrambling some. But, so it's always Atlanta. Like
it's you just bleed it.
Right. Like I can't I have to play with them first, but I will, you know, branch out and play with another team. But it's Atlanta all day, every day.
All day, every day. Okay, okay. So yeah, I mean obviously if you're playing like 2004, you're playing as Vic, you gotta play as the Falcons.
I mean, right. And what sucks for me is being an Atlanta fan. So I would play with Atlanta like online at the time when you have to use the you know, run the Ethernet cable.
Right.
You know, from your router to your room to your PlayStation 2 or whatever. And a lot of people would think that, I guess they call it cheesing at the time, you know, right. wanting to scramble. But I wouldn't do it too much. But I'm like, these people didn't realize, like, I've been a lifelong Falcons fan.
Right.
I'm allowed to use Atlanta. It's not only because of Vic. First of all, when they drafted Vic, right. I wanted LaDainian Tomlinson in 2001, to be quite honest with you. But,
yeah.
you know, I was like, I'm allowed to use Atlanta. I've suffered enough, so I'm going to use Vic. And I will scramble a little bit.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Yeah. See, I almost never play as the Steelers or never play as Ohio State when I'm playing any sports games because I'm always like, I want to play as somebody else. I mean, also, you know, Ohio State's normally like really, really good regardless. So then I feel like I never, you know, want to use them. So I always pick like random teams. So when you're playing college football, do you pick West Virginia every time or do you do?
I'm so weird. I'm such a creature of habit. Like I do the same thing, you know, and back in the day, back in the day, I couldn't play, you know, Coastal Carolina wasn't in the game, but right. I would always play with Marshall, W, Wisconsin. And now I play with Coastal Carolina. And last year I played one with Tennessee. And what's crazy is I played all these, you know, dynasties. And the only time I won a national championship was with Tennessee.
Yeah.
But I play with this and I covered the Myrtle Beach Bowl last year when Coastal Carolina mm-hmm. played the UTSA, and that their quarterback, I think his name's something McNown. It was Josh McNown who played like 15 years in the NFL. It was his son. So I branched out and I played a dynasty with them. So, but I mean, mainly I stick to my teams and that's about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes my go-to in college football is Cal, mainly because anytime I play a college football game, it's like, same thing. I want to pick a team that's like, you know, I want to help them rebuild. But when I'm playing college football, it's like they have to have a decent fight song. Because if I'm scoring right. touchdowns and I'm playing a dynasty with them, I refuse to play with a team that's a fight song that I hate. Because you have to hear it over and over and over mm-hmm. again. And I cannot do it. So at least Cal has like a decent fight song. And then, you know, I've always been okay living in Portland playing as Oregon. Because they have all the uniforms and everything. And I go to my father-in-law has season tickets. So we'll go to the games. He's like hardcore diehard or whatever. But last year I was at the game, the Ohio State Oregon game. And mm-hmm. oh my God, man, not the Rose Bowl, the one in Austin okay. Stadium. Heartbreak for me. It was pure.
I guarantee it.
Oh, it was pure. And they were ragging on me so hard. So hard. It's the worst I've ever been treated in any stadium as an opposing mm-hmm. fan ever, which is crazy because I've been to so many games there and everyone's super nice to everyone. Mm-hmm. But it was like first year in the Big Ten and it was like, nope, totally different story. I mean, I felt like I almost had like food thrown at me, which is like crazy for Autzen Stadium. But it was the most amount of Ohio. They said it. I mean, and I've been to enough games to know too. It's the most amount of visiting fans that have ever gone to a game there.
Really?
Yeah, but oh, hands down, everyone's like, I've never seen the stadium like travel. Like, I've never mm-hmm. seen this many fans travel.
Well, they travel well anyway, but
oh,
to there, that's crazy.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. And then so I had to live with that all the way into the Rose Bowl, and then mm-hmm. oh man, Rose Bowl. Yeah. like my father-in-law texted me because we have an ongoing bet that the like if Ohio State and Oregon ever play, the other person has to make steak dinner. Like you have to make steak dinner. So I made it like following week. I could tell he was so defeated because they were all sitting there. They were all cheesing, glazing so hard. Oh, yeah, this is our year. This is finally the year we're going to the national championship. The whole deal. And then, I didn't even text him. I was like, when I was watching the Rose Bowl and just watching the obliteration, he just texted me at like halftime. He's like, congrats, man. Like, I could tell he was so defeated.
Were you shocked at the result of that game? I was. I was honestly shocked. Like, I did not expect this.
Not when I saw them against Tennessee. After I saw this, because I don't actually last year, crazy story, I did not really watch that many Ohio State games because I'm totally superstitious. And actually, I have found I have really enjoyed Sirius XM is like become my new way to consume sports because it's the cheapest way to actually get all of the sports content. You can listen to pretty much every game and you get multiple broadcasts. So like if you're listening to NFL or really any game, you can switch between like I'm watching the Browns, I'm listening to the Browns and the Steelers. I can switch between Browns radio and Steelers radio. Mm-hmm. And it's so fun to see like a big play and then switch back and forth and just hear the tone and the announcer's voices. Cause on one hand, like they're like, this is it. Here we go. This is how we do it. And then you switch and like the other team's just like totally defeated. Like, here we go again. And it's such a fun way to consume it.
Now tell me what your wife thinks about talk radio.
she doesn't mind it because I don't really listen to it with her often.
For me, like growing up, that's all there was, and I used to be out, you know, in the building with my dad and listen to, he was a Reds fan, so listen to Marty Brenneman talk radio. Even to this day, I love talk radio, and my wife despises it, can't stand it, and I'm like, this just, it's what it's all about, you know. I would much rather listen to this versus some of these commentators.
Yeah. So she's not too, I mean, I don't really like play that. Like when sports are on, like we'll watch, and she'll watch, she's always down to just throw on like the Thursday night game, like the Amazon game or whatever. And we just watch NFL or whatever, but she does know when Ohio State football comes on, not that she tracks it. She's like, oh yeah, because like Matt's screaming at the television again, you know, like that's what she knows is she's like, what is going? Oh yeah. Football's on. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like football season. Cause I'm in the, you know, I'm in there like, let's go. Or, you know, what are you doing? You know, screaming at the TV. So yeah, she gets that, but yeah. So it was crazy. So once cause we had not been particularly great down the stretch after that Oregon game, Ohio State became very conservative and everything. And then when we came out and obliterated Tennessee, I was like, no, we're about to steamroll. And then after the first quarter against Oregon, I was like, oh, I don't think anybody's going to beat us. The team I was most worried about, of course, was Texas. I was like, oh, I don't know. And I actually think this year, I think Texas is probably going to win the whole thing because I'm an Arch Manning believer. So? Oh yeah. I just don't see anybody else stepping up against him. I don't follow the SEC closely enough. I mean, I follow it somewhat, but obviously I'm much more into the Big Ten, especially now that Oregon and basically all the Pac teams are part of it. But I mean, I don't know. Georgia's still out there, and I think
Penn State's going to surprise some people this year.
Yeah, I think Penn State, because they got Drew Aller back, their quarterback. I think Penn State's going to be pretty good. But yeah, I mean, I think it's still going to be probably the traditional cast. Oddly, the team I'm having most fun, and this is actually the team I'm playing as in college football because they have totally fell from grace, is Florida State. Man, it is just like brutal what has happened to Florida State.
Mm-hmm. I played with them actually last night. I played with them just against, you know, take out some frustration, I guess. I played against Sam Houston State.
Yeah.
Just because for me, like, I'm so weird when it comes to video games. Like, I have to have my roster exactly like it is, you know, in real life. And yes, I bought the game when it first came out, but I haven't even started a dynasty yet just due to the fact that I don't necessarily, you know, some of these teams that I love and I follow, but you just don't necessarily know what the depth chart and roster is going to look like. So I'm like, I would be so aggravated if I started a dynasty and went through the whole season and, you know, had the roster, you know, a couple weeks that I didn't make, or, you know, a couple different uniform. I have to wear the same uniform that they wore for that week in my dynasty. I wear the same exact uniform.
That's great. I mean, that's cool because I've never heard normally, you know, I'm in a lot of the Reddits and everything, and everyone's totally customizing it the opposite way, where everyone wants to make it their own thing.
But that's I have no interest in anything
that you want to go that route. That's so cool.
I have no interest in anything, you know, other than real life. Yeah. And like I said, down to the uniforms, and I don't mess with the schedule. I don't flip teams. I don't make my own conference. Now, when I was a kid, you know, I did, or back in the day when you were able to do it, I did. But now it has to be as real as possible for me. I don't know why. I don't know what it is, but everything has to be just like it is in real life. And I know that sounds crazy, but
no, I think it's cool because they do that. I mean, obviously there is a market for that, because that's why EA puts it in the games, where they're like, hey, you can have like the playbooks and the updated rosters week to week and everything.
Right.
Yeah. Do you think it's just because you like cover it and you're like, you feel like you're more connected to it, so you want to have that experience? Or
it was before that. And I, you know, I think covering the teams does, you know, as far as what the depth chart and roster looks like that does have, even within Madden and Atlanta, like it'll have to be exactly right. But I was like that even before, you know, I got into the journalism world and credential world. It was like that before too.
Yes. Okay. Okay. So what do you feel like is your kind of go-to games right now? Just like College Football 26? Are you playing Madden, current Madden, or what do you, are you more retro?
Well, like I said, I've taken a break from TikTok lately, so I haven't been, you know, playing too much of the retro games, but for now I'm a strictly, you know, PS guy. I'm a Sony. I've never had an Xbox. There was something about Xbox I didn't like, so I've always been a Sony guy, so I've always had a PlayStation. But right now it's PS5. Of course, I'm playing college football, Madden. I play, you know, MLB The Show and NBA 2K, but I also love Hogwarts Legacy. I'm playing it right now. And what else am I playing? Recently, since last Christmas, I was like, okay, I started seeing these simulator games. And I've never had a simulator game, you know, besides 1998, like Roller Coaster Tycoon or The Sims or something like that. You know, I've never dove into that world. And I got on TikTok last year and I'm like, all right, I need something. Somebody give me some of the best simulator games. So for Christmas, my mom and my wife, they split up. One of them got me Police Simulator and the other got me Farming Simulator. I'm still playing Police Simulator. I'm the worst cop of all time, first of all, that game. You know, I'm giving out tickets left and right to people that don't deserve them, and I lose points and all the time. But the Farming Simulator game, I am not a farmer, never claimed to be a farmer. I don't know anything about farming. Yes, I'm from West Virginia, but I know nothing about farming. But that game, I was completely immersed in that game.
It's so chill.
You lose yourself in that game. And, like, there's so many tips and tricks, you know, as far as somebody said, when you start the game, you know, buy up these other people's farms, harvest the crop, get that money, and then sell that farm. And that's how you start, you know, making millions of dollars on this game. But I think within the first 2 weeks, and it may not sound like a lot to some, it may sound insane to others. I think within the first 2 weeks, I put in, I think it was 56 hours or something crazy in that game.
Hey, for a dad and a guy with a full-time job, that's a lot of hours. Cause right. I'm a dad too. And I had to
step back. I'm like, man, I've got a problem with this game. Cause you know, you wake up, you're like, you go to bed and you're like, well, what can I do tomorrow? You know, I'm going to do this tomorrow. And this crop will be ready. And I found myself, you know, telling my wife about it. I'm like, what am I doing with my life right now? But I mean, you get completely lost in those games, man.
Yeah, no, it happens. I've never played Farming Simulator, but everything I've seen, I think I can see the reason why it would definitely be addicting, because sometimes you just see, like, you know, the combines out there and they're just, and you see how, like, you're just going such back and forth and everything, you just get kind of lost. And I can totally
it's
get.
Also, it has an ASMR, you know, aspect to chill. It, as far as, you know, the lawnmower, the lawn simulator, the pressure washing games, it has an ASMR kind of, you know, vibe to it too.
Yeah, I mean, I Stardew Valley, I mean, that's, you know, it's a little bit different, obviously, but it's a farming aspect to it too. And man, same thing. I still have my same save file. I think I've got like 3,500 hours on that thing just over the past couple of years, which I'm sure for some Stardew Valley players is like nothing, but you know, for me is quite a lot, mostly because I played on Switch, and so it's like I can play on the couch, or you know, because I have a 1-year-old, so it's just like, okay,
mine are 8 and 15. So
yeah,
speaking of, you know, ASMR type games, I seen your video on the Animal Crossing, and you were exactly right. Same thing. You know, that's something that we needed during the pandemic. And I was working in a chemical plant at the time, had been there forever, and the game and the Switch was bought for my daughter at the time, you know, when she was 10 or so.
Yeah.
But I became obsessed with it, you know, and I remember, you know, working night shift, I would get off at like 5-6 o'clock in the morning when I was on night shift, I would take the Switch to work and play it within the last hour before we left. And I just remember how the music would change. It was like this soothing music at 5 o'clock in the morning. and just everything you could do in there. Like, you were exactly right. Like, that was a time that we needed that game, and it was perfect.
Well, hey man, any sort of like, and I mean, I've worked in a warehouse, and you know, I mean, any kind of warehouse, factory, plant type of job, man, the noise is so just constant. There's always low white noise. Really, it's loud white noise, no matter what you're doing. And so I think, yeah, it's certainly a reason why I think a lot of people gravitate towards those cozy type games, you know, and it's just so chill and relaxing.
Like I said, it's corny, but man, it's an escape. I mean, it really is, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, what, so what do you, are you, have you at all been into like Blitz, those super arcadey NBA Jam stuff? I feel like we've commented on a couple of videos or something like that.
I do enjoy those, but for me, you know, I'm more of a simulation type guy.
You're more simulation than arcade.
Right. And I enjoy, you know, I'll introduce my son to these games because they're not going to, and we have had this discussion before, like we're not going to see another game, I think, football wise, where a player leaves with a concussion, you know, but like, as far as those games with the helmets being knocked off, they were great at the time. But I'm more of a simulation guy. Yeah. I do enjoy the arcade games, but I need that real life simulation as close as we can get to it.
Yeah, it's crazy. So, because I'm a diehard NFL guy. I mean, I'm talking diehard. The stats I have packed in my brain about, like, you know, players' careers that have, like, you know,
where they went to college. Okay.
Yo, exactly. It's like, man, that crazy season Braylon Edwards had for the Browns where he had 15 touchdowns. You know, like, why is that embedded in my mind? You know, some random season. So I actually created, maybe I'll even pull it up here and I'll share it with you. So I created a scoring algorithm for, because I play Madden and I want to keep track of all my stats, of all my franchises over the years. And so I was like, but how do my guys actually stack up against like NFL guys? So I created this enormous spreadsheet with almost like a fantasy style scoring system along with like some legacy points and everything. Mm-hmm. And then I went even more crazy and I started trying to rate like every quarterback ever to like pull up this. So I will pull this up here really quick. This like spreadsheet that I've created. Cause that's,
I will say that is hardcore.
It is. Yeah. Because man, I just get so hardcore into it and I want, and it's cause I'm a Madden, you know, diehard here. So I'll pull it up here. So it's like, it's totally crazy. It's all color coded, you know, and it's really sort of like a way to just describe like what I would consider to be like legacy value. Right. Mm-hmm. So, you know, obviously there's some things you could really get into it. Like Joe Montana probably should be higher than Favre and Roethlisberger, but hey, those guys have more passing yards and more touchdowns and stuff like that. And ultimately I created this so that way I could compare like some of my Madden player quarterbacks I've had, you know, in franchises over the years to create like a scoring system and everything. Then I started getting into like running backs and everything. And then I have one for college and like one for Retro Bowl that like handheld. It's like, it's a problem. That's the simulation aspect of it where it's like, well, I want like as accurate of data as I can possibly get into, you know.
Were you glad to see, as far as you know, all that goes, were you glad to see a trophy room finally added to college football? Like, was that important to you last year?
No, it wasn't. And actually in NCAA 14, which really is what kind of got me, because after Madden 20, I got so tired and I was like, I need something different. And I never really had played any of the college football games and since like college football on the Genesis. I've always just been more of an NFL guy. And then I feel like when they went to 17 games, I just felt like it just didn't matter as much anymore, you know, and then stuff like that. And so I think for me, that's one of the reasons I'm finding much more fun in college football, because I feel like it's just the ranking system. I just like it so much more because you see like all these teams that you get to play out all the crazy scenarios in your head. But like, okay, well, hold on a second. If Georgia wins the SEC, then they might leapfrog, you know, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just like that I get to follow that and play it out. And so I got more into college football. I went back and I was like, I need to find something. So I bought college football NCAA 14 on PS3, which is like over $100 to play that game, because I knew they were coming back out with college football 25. And I got addicted to that game bad. And part of it, I think, is also just because there's so many more teams. Same thing. I think because when I play Madden, it's like, all right, well, if I won 9 games, you're going to playoffs. It doesn't, you know, if I lose a game, it doesn't matter. That, especially because that was back into the BCS. So it's like, if you're not 1 or 2, like you're kicked out. And but it had the trophy system, and I felt like it was annoying actually, because at some point you just build your team up to be so good that you're winning trophies, and then it's like you have too many trophies, and it was so I did not care at all about the trophy system. And so I know some people were like, we want the trophy room, but the only trophy room I ever felt was cool was NFL 2K5s. It's part of your crib.
Right. Yeah, obviously everybody would agree with you on that one.
Yeah. The crib was so cool. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that was like the best, one of the best additions ever, because you like it actually, it totally tied the game. And I cannot believe actually that we've never seen that feature again.
So I've spoken here recently to Matt Brown, who has broken all kinds of college football news. Yeah. All this first story.
I watched that.
And I've talked to Mike Straw and all those guys. And a lot of people, you know, seem to believe that at some point within the next year or two, or even when they do release the basketball games again, that we might get some kind of variation of, you know, the crib like ESPN NFL 2K5 had.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's kind of crazy. It's like everyone looks at EA and they think, oh, man, EA monopolized sports, which I mean, they did monopolize Madden, but it actually kind of goes even further than that, right? Because they didn't just when they monopolized Madden, it was actually a huge ripple effect, and it's actually created more monopolies, right? Because they monopolized football and became, you know, the best at football because they were also the only one around. But then it also then forced 2K to basically monopolize basketball because they killed the NBA Live franchise, and they tried to bring it back. Remember, I think it was like 2014, the one with Kyrie. They tried to bring it back, and it didn't work. And then they actually basically gave 2K gave up on the baseball series, and I actually liked 2K baseball more than the show at the time. But now that, you know, the show is great, but it also then caused that where it was like the show, and then Xbox didn't even have a baseball game for years because MLB the Show was only on PlayStation,
right?
Yeah, so it was a total ripple effect. It was like such a big deal. And we lost all that crazy competition of like, oh, let's have the crib, or let's have first person football, or let's have all that stuff.
Right.
Yeah. Well, cool. All right, man. Well, we're coming up on an hour here. So we'll talk a little bit about like your website. I mean, you don't just cover games on TikTok and stuff like that. You obviously cover like actual sports. I mean, you're like a legit sports journalist.
I've had my hand in so many cookie jars over the years, but as far as journalism itself, as far as writing, I mean, it goes back all the way to third grade. I wrote a Christmas. They said, you know, just off the top of your head, write a Christmas story. So I ended up, and I still have it to this day. I got an A on it. I wrote a Christmas story about Santa Claus, you know, not coming that year because he broke his ankle and he was supposed to bring some kid like a Sega Genesis. So obviously I threw the video game into it there even back then, but wrote in college too. Always enjoyed, got good grades in college when it came to journalism, writing papers and things. But 2013, I started at the plant that I was at, 2012, and a friend of mine had a hunting website, and I'd always been a fan of, you know, coding and building websites and writing things like that. So I was like, okay, well, for me, I'm not into hunting. You know, I fish. I've never been hunting in my life. I don't know a thing about it. Just have no interest in it. It's cool that he did. He had his own site. So I figured, well, I want to start something on my own. So I started a gaming, you know, it was sort of a gaming sports website. It's crazy, you know, back in the day, because I would look at ESPN, I would see what the top stories were, and I would kind of rewrite that, put my own spin on it, and kind of use it as like a tool to, okay, come over here and read this. So you don't get all these pop-up ads. You don't get all this crap, you know, popping up at you while you're trying to read something. You don't have to pay like $1.99 a month to come read things like that. And it spiraled into, I would do game reviews. I would write about anything that I was passionate about. You know, off the top of my head, I would put my thoughts into blog form. That spiraled into the West Virginia Mountaineers were coming a little closer to me in Lewisburg, West Virginia. They were at the Greenbrier up there for their camp, their spring game and their camp. So I inquired about credentials for that. I landed those. They enjoyed my writing and things that I wrote about for that specific event, which, you know, everything's kind of a ladder, kind of stair step, you know, from one thing to another. So that ended up, I was credentialed to cover, you know, every W home game. I started doing that. And then the New Orleans Pelicans came and had training camp also at the Greenbrier. You know, of course, I had my own platform. I inquired about that. I was able to go cover their training camp when they first got Anthony Davis. I inquired, I'm like, okay, if I come to New Orleans, would I be able to cover a game or two? They're like, let's check you out and, you know, we'll let you know. And they were like, absolutely, we'd love for you to come. Made a weekend out of that, covered the Pelicans, I think, on a Saturday, went to the Saints-Giants game on a Sunday. that established my connection with the Saints. I came back, kept writing, you know, started to progress, get better as a journalist, wanted to do some radio work. I got into radio. I was on the radio, I think it was on Saturdays only, but the time frame was, I didn't like the time frame. It was real early in the morning on a Saturday. I wanted more of like a drive home type, you know, right, talk show for 2 or 3 hours. It was called The Locker Room. So I wouldn't imagine a whole lot of people was listening at that time of morning on a Saturday, but we had guests, we would discuss things, had a blast on it, decided that I wanted to do a podcast, wanted to do my own thing, started a podcast, had some great guests, you know, had Freddie Coleman from ESPN, a lot of WVU guys, some former NBA players. And just like anything else, you know, I got burnt out, took some time off. I would still cover things. I would inquire on these teams, you know, in 2015, 2016, I'm like, okay, I'm going to send an email to the Atlanta Falcons. Can I come and cover training camp? They're like, absolutely. We see your platform. Absolutely. It looks pretty good. Started doing that. And it just kind of spiraled into, you know, I would travel around, cover as many things as possible. I'm talking Houston Texans,
yeah,
Cleveland Browns, you know, New Orleans. I would be in New Orleans. I would be Atlanta covering Atlanta Hawks. And just away so much, I'm like, I need to cut back on this a little bit. Yeah. So that spiraled into a local business would have autograph events. And I went and talked to this guy. We established a relationship. And I'm like, okay, can we come and do some interviews with the talent that you bring in exchange for ad space on my website? You know, he said that was fine. So started doing interviews there, which increased my, you know, passion for interviews and sports. I wanted to start doing that on my own. And it's just a stair step. You know, everything leads from one thing to another. You know, a year ago, I wanted to kind of up my where I was at as far as writing for the West Virginia Mountaineers. Fans had contacted me, wanted me to write for the HailWestVirginia.com to cover the football team. Started doing that. Athlon Sports, after that, contacted me and gave me a few teams that I could cover. Obviously, I'm like, well, I'm going to cover the Falcons. So yeah, it's just one thing led to another, and it's just progressively, you know, trying to get better, trying to build in every aspect of journalism and what I'm doing. And I love the podcast that I had back in the day, so that's why I recently started the new podcast, and I've had some great guests so far. So like I said, it's brand new, trying to build that. And you don't really realize how tough YouTube is like a new, man. I don't want to say I'm a new at YouTube.
It's like brutal. Yeah.
Right. I mean, it really is. And you know, some of the experts are like, your first 100 videos won't get any views, and they're absolutely, yeah, right. Like, I don't have a ton of views at all, but like, I've interviewed some amazing people.
So I know, I'm just shocked your interview with Jonathan Abram doesn't have.
See, what's awesome about,
like,
that,
that's,
is
that's
like,
that's a guy who's like cusp Hall of Fame. You know, I mean, he may get in.
Should be there already.
I commented on it. I don't know, but that's the argument for another day. But I mean, that should have way more views, because I looked at it today. I was like, how does this only have like 54? You know, I was like, that's ridiculous.
It's just, I guess it's going to take a while, you know. But like I said, I'm going to keep at it. I don't do it, you know, for anything other than my love for it. Yeah. And, but at least, you know, with the Falcons, I could take those interviews, turn them into an article, put them in front of a new audience, which in turn you would think would bring over to YouTube, but it just doesn't work that way. But I'm going to keep at it. I'm going to keep, you know, finding the best guests I can, because back in the day, I was trying to find like the biggest guest that I could to interview instead of having somebody on that was relevant at the time.
Yeah.
You know, so I started bringing in more relevant people as far as what's going on nowadays, but I'm just going to keep my head down and keep at it, man.
Oh yeah, yeah. Oh, dude, it's a total grind. I mean, it's brutal. I mean, I do it every day, and I'm even part of this. I work with Google. I'm part of this like Shorts creator program they have, and I'm in there with like guys with like millions of followers and stuff like that.
Now the Shorts do good. You know, I'll cut my interviews. I'll cut the interview up into 2 or 3 Shorts, and they do really well. But still, I'm not where I want to be with it. But you know, I hope that I'll just continue to build on it.
It's a process. It's a grind. But yeah, I mean, you definitely keep interviewing, you know, guys, the Hall of Fame or NFL guys and stuff like that. That'll take off for sure. Okay. A lot of it too is you just gotta, is like, it's all about controversy. Because I said, I'm part of the Fansided Network here, even though I'm part of the Minute Media Entertainment Division or whatever. But I started a sports podcast last year just kind of because I've always been a sports guy and love it. I mean, obviously, I'm super nerdy when it comes to the NFL stats and whatnot, and so I just started one last year to soft launch it, and then I was kind of like, maybe I'll cover like every week, and it's just too much, and really I just want to talk more college football, NFL. I don't really want to talk NBA, and maybe a big story pops up or something, but I just kind of want to start it and see. And really, I said some controversial things last year about Ohio State, and I was like, hey, I think if Ohio State wins this whole deal, they're gonna have to go down as one of the best teams ever, because they will have ran through like six top five teams. I mean, you know, and we will see that more as the whatever happens. And then it got like almost a million views on Instagram because
that's crazy.
Because, well, because I've realized everyone just piles in, and then like it's a, like if you say something about politics, it's a two-sided equation.
Right.
If you say something about like most anything, it's a two-sided equation. But when you say stuff about sports, like, oh, it's totally different, because now you've got like, if you say something about the NFL, it's 32 teams. You can, then you get like, you know, you say something about the, oh man, the Vikings might win the whole deal this year. Packers fans will be like, I don't know about that. I think we're better. And Bears fans will come in and they'll be like, well, the Bears suck, you know, and then they all just pile on each other. And that's what turns into views and content.
But maybe, I don't, maybe it'll be harder for me to succeed in the YouTube platform because I don't,
it just takes time.
Right. And that, it even goes back to my writing. Like I don't rely on clickbait titles, you know, and they, I'm not worried about any of that. And
no, your interviews are, I watched them. They were, they're genuine. They're good.
Well, and I, you know, I let the person talk. I don't interrupt, you know, because that's what I would want to see and want to watch. And as far as journalism, I'm all about quality over quantity. I don't want to put out a bunch of garbage, but you know, I just, I try to be genuine. And like I said, we'll get there hopefully.
Oh yeah. Oh, it's just a grind. All right. Well, we'll close up here, but one question before we go. Matt Ryan, is he a Hall? I mean, he's your guy. He's Falcon. Is he a Hall of Famer or not?
Obviously, to me, yes.
Okay.
But I don't think.
I don't think so.
I don't think he will be. If he would have won 2016, I would have said yes.
Yes, 100%.
But, you know, I don't think so. I don't think he'll get there. And that's fine. That's okay. You know, you can't take away from what he did for that franchise and that city, but I don't see it.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting because the way I view him is I think about like Philip Rivers, who probably is going to get in. And when you really sit down and think about it, it's like, who do you think really had like the better career? And like, I fortunately have their stats right here so I can look at it. But I mean, it's just like, you know, because they're both like post, you know, 60, almost 60,000 passing yards and stuff like that. But really the biggest difference is it comes down to like Philip Rivers went to like 8 Pro Bowls. But Matt Ryan only went to 4 Pro Bowls, but also has an MVP and a Super Bowl appearance. And it's like, does 4 more Pro Bowls outweigh a Super Bowl appearance and an MVP? I don't know.
Unfortunately, yeah, you would think that they would not, because I despise the Pro Bowl. I wish they would just acknowledge who made it and don't play it. But it's sad that
it's,
you know,
been
has
stupid
a,
since they got rid of the game.
Right. It's just sad that the Pro Bowls still have a say and your accolades, you know, off the field too.
Yeah, I mean, like, man, when I look at him, like, they're almost, honestly, their stats are almost identical. So it's like Philip Rivers, 134 wins, Matt Ryan, 124. I mean, they're almost neck and neck. He went to, Rivers won 5 playoff games, Matt Ryan. I mean, they're literally almost identical. Philip Rivers threw more touchdowns, but Matt Ryan has a better touchdown interception ratio. I mean, they're literally almost identical, but it just,
what is the completion percentage there between those two?
Unfortunately, I don't have that on me, but I actually would imagine Matt Ryan's is way higher because his completion percentage, I know, is one, he was like one of the higher guys. But yeah, I mean, literally they're almost identical, but the big difference is literally like 8 Pro Bowls versus 4 Pro Bowls and then a Super Bowl appearance and an MVP, which also earned him an All Pro. And it's just like, I personally would take Matt Ryan over Philip Rivers any day of the week. Right.
I think
he's going to get in over Matt Ryan. And I think they're like, you're right. I think they're valuing his 8 Pro Bowls, especially because I think when you look at their two divisions, the NFC South under Matt Ryan was infinitely tougher than the AFC West under Philip Rivers. Of course, at the end, like, you know, Alex Smith and, you know, Peyton was there, but that was really, he had already been a quarterback for like almost 10 years in that division before those guys showed up. Whereas like Matt Ryan had to go through like Drew Brees and like Cam and the Panthers always had some years. The Bucks for most of his career were pretty trash. And, you know, told Brady, I don't know if it really they crossed over because he went to Indy and maybe, but I mean, really it's like Matt Ryan had a way tougher path in his division than Philip Rivers did for the majority of their careers.
Right. I agree.
Yeah.
I just don't think it's going to happen.
I don't think so. I don't think so. I don't even know if a senior committee, he'll get in. Yeah. So, okay. Well, all right, man. Where can people, as we've kind of talked about a little bit, where can people find you on the internet?
Everywhere. Just look up sportsnerds.com, you know, on any social media, sportsnerds.com. And like I said, trying to get that YouTube channel going, Nerds Enigma. do interviews and things like that, but a little bit everywhere. But if you type in Sports Nerds, you'll find me.
Cool. All right. Well, hey guys, as always, you can find me anywhere at Super Gains Bros on the internet or Box Trick Gaming at, you can send us a message here at boxtrickgaming@gmail.com. So as always, thank you guys for watching. Thank you for listening. And I hope you have a great rest of your day.